they come to you. Your son shall come from far away, and your daughter shall be carried on a nurse's arms. Then you shall see and be radiant. Your heart shall thrill and rejoice, but the abundance of the sea shall be brought to you. The wealth of the nations shall come to you. The multitude of camels shall cover you. The young camels of Midian and Ephah, all those from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and frankincense and shall proclaim the praise of the Lord.
Our second reading is from Matthew's Gospel and is in the very familiar story of the men who came from the east, chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born king of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means the least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, 'Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word, so that I also may go and pay him homage.' When they had heard his name, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks.
As I just said, I love the word Epiphany. It's fun to say. I think it has a wonderfully positive connotation. It's from the Greek, and it means appearing or appearance or manifestation or shining forth. In everyday conversation, when someone says he had an epiphany, he usually means he had a new insight that just seemed to appear or shine forth for him. For Christians, in the context of the church year, the Feast of Epiphany is about God shining forth to the world in the incarnation, the birth of Jesus. To Matthew, the visit of the Magi represents the fulfillment of God's promise to Abraham centuries before. And that's important to Matthew because making connection to the Hebrew Scriptures is crucial for him. He wants to prove to the synagogue down the street that Jesus does indeed fulfill the promises and is the Messiah. One of those promises was made to Abraham, we remember, that through him and his descendants, all the families of the earth would be blessed. That's in Genesis 12. The visit of the Magi fulfills that promise because they are very other. very Gentile, very non-Jewish, and they are brought to the light of the world, by God's initiative. Who are they anyway? We really don't know much about them. First of all, we don't know really how many there were. You heard it. We only suppose that there were three of them because of the number of gifts that Matthew mentions. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. They have no names in our text. They have been called by legendary names, Melchior, Gaspar, Belshazzar. But we really don't know where those names came from. One source I studied attributes those names to the 8th century English priest, the Venerable Bede, and assumes he made them up. Others say Henry Longfellow gave them their names. We're not sure where they came from either, although their home was certainly east of Jerusalem. The word magi also comes from the Greek and can be translated as wise men or astrologers or astronomers, or even in a very negative sense, as in other places in Scripture, magicians or sorcerers. It was common knowledge that there were serious astrologers, astronomers in Persia, people who tried to interpret the present and future by reading what was in the stars. We might think of them as the guys who wrote the horoscope for the Tehran Times. What is important for us to understand, especially from Matthew's point of view, is just how shocking an event this is. That these mysterious stargazers from faraway lands, dressed in strange clothes and bearing expensive and exotic gifts, have been led by God in a way that they cannot resist. They absolutely cannot resist. They pursue a bright star, convinced that they are looking for a new Jewish king whose arrival has been foretold in the night sky. What? Matthew's church would have said. What? Not just for the people of Israel? Truly a light to the Gentiles, as Isaiah said? Only two of the gospel writers even give us a birth story for Jesus, of course, Luke and Matthew. And we tend to conflate them when we tell the story. And they certainly get mixed up in most Christmas pageants or plays or movies. And that doesn't really do justice to each gospel. There's no stable in Matthew's gospel. There are no animals, no manger, no cave, no shepherds, no angels singing glory to God in the highest. Not there. That's Luke's story. Here we have political and religious figures. King Herod, who is such a paranoid ruler that he had his own sons murdered so they could not threaten his power. The chief priests and the scribes, these are Jewish religious leaders, and the visiting magi. The magi assume that a new king will be found in the capital, Jerusalem. But that doesn't seem to be the case, and the star is just not specific enough. They need help. They consult the current king. I think they're pretty clueless there. And Herod pretends to be just as excited as they are. Isn't it interesting that even though God has brought them such a long way by means of a beautiful star, they still need the scriptures to find out where he truly is? Just responding to God in the big book of creation was not quite enough. They also needed the guidance of the smaller book, the scriptures. But I digress. Herod summons the religious leaders for illumination on where the Messiah was to be born. And we often hear this answer read on Christmas Eve, sometimes from Micah. But you, Bethlehem of Ephrathah, who are one of the little clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to rule Israel, whose origin is from of old, from ancient times. Bethlehem, just a few miles south, just down the road from Jerusalem. There they will find the Holy Family. Not in the stable, with an infant just hours old, but in a house with likely a toddler. After all, it has taken them some time to come this far. And we know that after God tells them in a dream to go home by another way, Herod is furious. If we were to read on, we would see one of the most horrible texts in the scripture, where Herod orders his soldiers to murder all children in and around Bethlehem who are 2 years old or less. Of course, Jesus and his family escaped to Egypt. With the guidance of God in the star and of God in the scriptures, they come to the light. They come to the light of the world in this wee child. And they know it. Matthew says they're overwhelmed with joy. And they immediately fall to their knees and worship this child. Then they get out the gifts. We just come through a Christmas season of small children, I'm sure, receiving way too much gifts. I wonder how they decided on these gifts. Lots of interpretations have been made. We hear a lot of it from hymn writers. When we sing We Three Kings with the famous words about these gifts, gold I bring to crown him again, frankincense, the aroma of prayer and praising, myrrh to anoint the dead body of the crucified king. I would commend to you the beautiful Ken Carmichael text, bring we the frankincense of our love. It's in the older blue hymnal. In this hymn, the gifts come from all of us. The gold of our faithfulness. The myrrh of our humility. The frankincense of our love. They are expansive gifts. They are gifts suitable for a king, suitable for the light shining forth. The light, as John's gospel reminds us, that the darkness could not overcome. Gifts of Epiphany. What gifts do we bring to this one who shines into our lives? When my granddaughter Sarah was about three, maybe three and a half, we were looking at a nativity scene on the coffee table in her living room. The figures were sturdy and colorful, very appropriate for a small child, and she loved playing with them, moving them all around. Of course, like all such scenes, the wise men, or three kings, were included. Sarah started telling me the story, using all the figures. It was quite an interesting telling, as she not only used Luke's account and Matthew's account, but she also managed to have the angels descend by way of Jack's beanstalk. I thought, well, that works. I asked her a few questions from time to time. She particularly liked one of the king figures, the one that was in her set dressed in royal purple with a big crown. And she was holding a fairly large golden urn type of container with an elaborate top on it. And I said, Sarah, what did this wise man bring for the baby? She looked at him carefully, and then she said, soup. He brought soup. And I nodded, seriously, and I agreed that soup is always welcome in a house with a new baby. We moved on. What gifts do we bring to this one who shines into our lives? I think she had the right idea. Matthew would have approved. We remember that later in his gospel, Jesus explains that whenever we do something for the least of these, the sick, the hungry, the thirsty, the poor, those in prison, we do it for him. When we bring soup to the family with a new baby in the house, or with someone that's perhaps just come home from the hospital, when we bring soup to them, we bring it to Jesus. When we provide a meal and a place to sleep for the homeless, we provide that for Jesus. When we give coats to children who would otherwise be cold, we give them to Jesus. When we bring new blankets for families in our community, we bring them to Jesus. We may not think of them as royal gifts, but they are. They are. They are gifts from our hearts, our very selves, for this one who shines into our lives. Christina Rossetti wrote the words to the hymn we are about to sing. And the last verse says it so very beautifully. What can I give him, poor as I am? If I were a shepherd, I would bring a lamb. If I were a wise man, I would do my part. Yet what I can, I give him. Give my heart. May it be so for all of us.
Thank you.
by the sharing the Nicene Creed, which is one of the oldest creeds of the church. We believe in one God.